Turn your Bible with me to chapter 2 of Esther. Chapter 2 of Esther. Tonight's title is The Bachelor, Persian Style. I know, it's a kind of corny title, but there is a reason for it. I read the book of Esther as you guys many times for the study of this book. The more I read the chapter 1 through 5, the more I realize, at least chapter 1 through 3, the more I think about the TV reality show known as The Bachelor. I have not watched it because I know it's a completely pathetic, ignorant, and repulsive show. But I saw enough previews to I can tell what this is about. One man get to choose one woman out of many contestants, and who would do just about anything, including having sex with the man whom they barely know for 15 minutes fame and the money. They don't have a shame. They don't have a dignity as a woman. In my opinion, the contestants of this kind of reality show are making themselves fools in front of millions of viewers and to fulfill their carnal desires. Another great example of human depravity. But as we will find out, Esther was also thrown into this game, the Bachelor Persian style, without a whole lot of choice, because it was a king's command, and during the time, king's command is a final authority. Either you follow king's command or you become a traitor and you lose your head. And Mordecai's family, I'm sure they were tucked away and living in the small village and just hoping that she would be ordinary Jewish wife, Jewish mom, having a normal dream, but she never thought that she would be contesting for the beauty pageant in Persia. However, the whole thing, this is an incredible orchestra of God's part and by the providential will of God, and to show His glory and majesty within this book. I find the two things that we need to concentrate. First one is the character of the godly character of Esther that we will find. I found the six of them. And the second thing we need to notice is that God's unseen control that weaves through the fabric of this saga. So we'll start at the verse 1 of chapter 2 and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are most grateful, as CJ has mentioned, that you called us and you gave us the opportunity to come to you, to hear from you, to worship you, to adore you through your word and through our worship. We realize that we are not living in this life for our own, but that we choose to live life for you. As Apostle Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Even though we are absent from heaven, but you are with us, we are in presence in you because you are everywhere. And teach us tonight about the godly character, not just for a woman, godly woman, but as a godly man and woman that we should have. And that let us realize your providential will is there and your presence there, no matter how bleak the situation is. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 2. After these things, note these things, please underline these things, we'll talk about it. When the wrath of King Ahasuerus subsided, he remembered Vashti, what she had done and what had been decreed against her. Then the king's servant who attended him said, Let beautiful young virgins be sought for king, and let the king appoint officers in all the province of his kingdom, that they may gather all the beautiful young virgins to the Shushan, the citadel, into the woman's quarter, under the custody of the Haggai, the king's eunuch, the custodian of the women, and let the beauty preparation be given them. Then let the young woman who please the king be queen instead of Vashti. These things that pleased the king, and he did so. I should underline after these things. What would be the after these things? Nearly it's been 4 years since chapter 1. There's a 4 year gap between chapter 1 and chapter 2. In between that time, King Hezuera led the campaign against Greece, and instead of coming home with a victory and honor, he came back home with the humiliation of defeat. He went against the Greek and Greece, and he lost his everything. Though he had a harem full of women, but he did not have a queen because the queen was deposed 4 years ago. So he misses her, and then he realized there's a difference between having somebody loving somebody and just having sex with somebody. It might be exciting for a moment, but lasting relationship with your spouse is far more important than just a few exciting moments. The king's advisor concerned about the Vashti might get, because the king misses her, she might come back to the royal favor and she get the throne back. The reason why they're concerned, because they're the one who made king to depose his wife. If she comes back, guess whose head's going to roll? So, okay, between her neck and their necks, okay, I think that's a rather simple answer. So they came up with a suggestion would satisfy this sensual man, the king. Another harem full of women. King's, it sounds like a fairy tale. The farm girl becoming a queen overnight. I'm sure that not everybody was excited to become a harem of the king's, because the reason is, if you become a harem of a king and the king does not like you, guess what? You get to spend the night with a king, that's about it. And the rest of your life, you cannot marry to somebody else, you become a harem, concubine of a king, and you pretty much royal widow. The rest of your life, you stay in the king's palace for the rest, without doing anything. Probably if the king doesn't like you, that means you cannot even have a child. So you pretty much waste your life. And by knowing that, having that idea, I'm sure that many women, many virgins, rather marry to somebody whoever is available in her town than becoming a harem, one of a harem, a concubine in his harem. I'm sure it was not Esther's idea of the having fun or getting honored. Would that be considered as honor? I'm sure they consider that being a concubine of a king would be an honor. Would that be happiness? Absolutely not. Verse 5. Let's look at his family, her family. The Shushan, the citadel, there was a certain Jew named was Mordecai, the son of Jer, son of Shimei, son of Kish, a Benjamite. Kish had been carried away from the Jerusalem with the captives who had been captured with the Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away, and Mordecai had brought up the Hadassah, that is Esther, her uncle's daughter. So they are between them, their cousin relationship, for she had neither father or mother. The young woman was lovely and beautiful, when her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. If you go back to the name of the Mordecai was son of Jair, son of Shimei. Who had his name Shimei? Any of you guys remember? Shimei. Remember when the Absalom made a coup against King David and he was crossing this brook, and Kidron Brook, I believe, Shimei, the Benjamite, throwing rock at the king and calling name, all that stuff. And also, is it the same person? No, it's not. And the son of Kish, who had the name Kish? Any of you guys remember? Saul's father, yes. Also, they're both Benjamite. They're not the same people. Mordecai and says the Kish was among the first group of people and who got, and the second group of people who got captured by King Nebuchadnezzar by 597 BC. And they were brought into the Babylon. Cyrus, the king of Persia, entered Babylon in 539 BC. Next year, he gave the permission to the Jewish people to go back to their own land. First group was 50,000 people. They immigrated back to the Israel. But the second group followed, and more people followed. However, the Mordecai chose to stay within the Persia kingdom. Why? I don't know. Probably he was one of the many Israeli people who remained in the kingdom of Persia, because during the Babylon time, the Persian Jewish people were persecuted quite a bit, exception of a few. However, during the Persian kingdom, they were very much lenient, and a lot of Jewish people prospering in their kingdom. So I guess uprooting their everything and going to the place where pretty much wild and backward place is a kind of was not their idea of comfort. It's like you uproot everything from here and moving into Uganda. Kind of like that, because during the time in Israel, it was pretty much a barren place because it was thoroughly destroyed by the Babylon and the other countries. Let's move down to the verse 8. Now we're going to look at the six godly characters of Esther. So it was when the king's command and decree were heard, and when many young women were gathered to the Shushan, the citadel, under the custody of Haggai, that Esther also was taken to the king's palace. Note the word taken. She didn't volunteer for this. Into the care of Haggai, the custodian of women. Verse 9, would you put number 1 there for me, please? Now the king, a young woman pleased him. She obtained his favor, so he readily gave beauty preparation to her besides her allowance. And 7 choice maidservants were provided for her from the king's palace. He moved her and her maidservant to the best place in the house of women. Verse 10, put the number 2, please. Esther had not revealed her people or family, and put number 3 before 4, for Mordecai had charged her not to reveal it. Verse 11, and every day Mordecai paced in front of the court of the woman's quarter to learn of Esther's welfare and what was happening to her. Number 4 in verse 12, each young woman's return came to go into the king Hezuera after she had completed the 12 months preparation according to the regulations for the women, for thus were the days of their preparation apportioned: 6 months with the oil of oleg, and then 6 months of the perfumes and the preparation for the beautifying woman. Thus prepared, each young woman went to the king, and she was given whatever she desired to take with her from the woman's quarters to the king's palace. In the evening she went, and in the morning she returned to the second house of women, to the custody of Shagidog, I cannot pronounce that guy's name, the king's eunuch, who kept the concubine. who would not, she would not go into the king's again, king again unless the king delighted in her and called her by name. Now when the turn came to the Esther, daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter, to go into king, she requested nothing but what Haggai, the king's eunuch, the custodian of women, advised. And the king, Esther, obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. Number five there, please, in verse 16. So Esther was taken to the king Ahasuerus into his royal palace in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. The king loved Esther more than all the other women, who she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Verse 18, put number 6 there for me, please. Then the king made a great feast, the feast of Esther, for all his official and servant, and he proclaimed a holiday in the province, gave gifts according to the generosity of the king. When the virgins were gathered together in the second time, Mordecai sat within the king's gate. Note the word, he sat at the king's gate. Now Esther had not revealed her family and her people, just as Mordecai had charged her, for Esther obeyed the command of Mordecai as when she was brought up by him. According to ancient Jewish historian Josephus, Ahasuerus had at this time 400 women as a harem. I'm not going to comment about that one. Only thing I can say is an idiot. Can you imagine how competitive this woman, 400 women in the same house? I would say that's a major catfight place, don't you think? These people who wants to be a queen, and they are, I'm sure, competitive, and they are selfish and greedy and self-absorbed women. Out of all these women, there's one woman who could care less about the material things. I'm sure it caught the eyes of Haggai. That's the reason why he treated her differently and put her in the best place. God is so great, he can work with the Gentile man, eunuch, and make him do the things that what is a favor toward Esther. Every day, God is still working in the place where we think he would be absent. Good example is the way I find out about the Obama and Hillary, all these things, the things they say, the things the Democrat people says. I don't think God is there, but he is there. And he's working on those people's heart. And ACLU, American Civil Liberty Union, another good place. I don't think God would be there. But still, God is using them to work with them. I asked you to put the numbers in the several areas, 6 of them. Let's look at one at a time. Are you guys awake? Okay. Esther had a grace-filled charm and elegance in verse 9. Her manner was filled with pleasantness, and in the presence of others, it is no wonder why the Haggai chose to treat her differently over other women. So let me ask you this. Do you treat others with grace and pleasantness and kindness when we are treated rudely? Can that rude person see Jesus in us without telling them we are Christian? By our action, the way we, the things, how we respond to them? Just because that person is treating us rudely, that doesn't mean we can treat that person rudely back. Remember in the book of Romans, do not pay back evil for evil. Second character I find is Esther had an unusual restraint and control in verse 10, the first portion of verse 10. She knew the value of a verbal restraint when every young woman tried to make her self-known to others who, and make the other people to think that she's more qualified to be queen than others. Even she became a queen, she still kept her secret, her nationality, that being a Jew, to others. She didn't tell anyone, including king. I'm sure that being a kind of having a mystery, air of mystery and quietness and charm attract more people toward her. Do we control our mouth in front of others? Saying what is necessary is important, but not saying what is not necessary is equally important. Isn't that true? How many times did you open your mouth and say something, soon as it come out of your mouth, and you're thinking, I'm an idiot. I've done that one too many times. So, it is no wonder why James said, anyone who controls the tongue is a perfect man. Okay, third character I find is Esther had an continually teachable spirit in the second portion of verse 10. What do I mean? See, here's a woman who was beautiful, but she had a teachable spirit and willing to listen and learn. Sometimes the more gifted we are, or the more physically endowed, the more popular, more prominent in position, the less teachable we become. Which is unfortunate, because none of this gift give us a corner on wisdom. Let me make a quick example. The people whom you know, they move up in the ladder of the corporate or the wherever you work, or even Christian realm. Their church become grow fast. And now instead of having 20, 30 people, they have a couple thousand people, or even become bigger. Then the pastor tend to read his own clipping and look at himself in front of the mirror too, one too many times. They act like they are special people. The higher we go up, we should be cautious, because the higher you go, the longer fall and the bigger is the fall. I'm sure that all of you can name a few people whom you know that who think that they know it all, can do it all, and they act like a peacock. One thing they forget is peacock had a bird brain, right? Before we go anywhere, we need to look at one thing here. Mordecai told Esther to be quiet about her nationality. If we put that thing in our term, what is that be like? I'm telling you, don't say you're a Christian. Right? That would be the about equal thing. There are far too many Christians who keep themselves as a secret agent, and they always conceal who they are in the Lord as if it's a shame. We must take a warning Jesus gave in Matthew 10:32 and 10:33 seriously. Let's go there. Keep your finger where you have. Matthew 10:32. Therefore, whoever confess me before man, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever deny me before man, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So if you, in another portion of the gospel says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you in the presence of my God and my Father and angels. Does this mean that Mordecai and Esther did wrong? I don't think so. Why? Because I do believe that the Spirit of God led him not to say anything about his nationality, nor her nationality. there is a time for them to reveal it, and then we will find out that they revealed their nationality. When the people come to my home on Saturday morning, either they are the Jehovah's Witness or Mormons, I don't tell them right away I'm a pastor. When I have time, I talk with them. When I'm behind my studying schedule, I say, sorry, I'm not going to listen to you, I've got to go, politely. When they start to do their things, talking about their faith, their religion, I let them talk, and I ask them the questions they cannot answer. And they become very uncomfortable, and they ask me, what do you do for a living? Then I tell them I'm a pastor. Then they quickly leave. There are times when it's not always a good thing for us to tell people before anything that I'm a Christian, I'm a born-again Christian. Give them a chance. You talk normal things about life, sports, so on, and bring them into the conversation where you can talk about faith in Christ Jesus. That's one of the good way to explain about Jesus Christ. I remember what Augustine said. Preach the gospel. If you have to use the word, I believe that our action and the way we carry ourselves should speak who we are in Christ more than what we claim with our own mouth. I like the way he said it. Preach the gospel. If you have to, use the words. Fourth character I find is Esther had an unselfish modesty and authenticity. I see it from the verse 12 to 15. Can you imagine giving all this woman credit card has no limit and drop them off at Scottsdale Mall, shopping mall, and where there's a Christian Dior, Armani, and Gucci, Estee Lauder, Harry Winston, and all 400 of them. Christina is kind of her eyes dancing. Oh yeah, let me have that credit card. And of course, don't forget the Coach purse. Just for fun of it, I went online to see how much a Coach purse cost. Little tiny thing of $300.
Yeah, but you had it for like 15 years.
See what I mean? Yeah, how many how many purses do you have? How many shoes do you have? You see what I mean? Oh, I'm on the roll. I can do that because my wife is not here. I'm going to be so dead, right? I'm sure that with all this woman going crazy with the shopping spree, they could take whatever they want to take before they go to the king. Probably when everybody's loading up their shopping cart, probably Esther go in and pick up one eyeliner. And probably somebody asks, "Is that what else do you want?" "That's all I want." I'm sure it was refreshing when everybody just holding things and fighting over things, and there's one woman don't want anything. What an opportunity to come to know us, to do whatever. When the opportunity come for us to do whatever our heart desire, do we consult with the Lord for His guidance, or do we do whatever our carnal nature wants to do? When we have a great opportunity to do whatever we want to do, do we ask God for guidance, or do we just let our carnal desire drive as far as it can go? That shows Esther has unselfish modesty and authenticity. Fifth character I find is, by the way, this is not just for woman, this is for man too. It applies to godly men. As a godly man, Esther had a winsome and regardless of her surrounding. She had a winsome attitude regardless of her surrounding. Compared to other women in the harem, her winsomeness and charm stood out to Ahasuerus' eyes like a beautiful swan in the dirty dark pond. See, it's a common acknowledgement. Isn't it true? If there is a person who is a better looking than others, that person would get the better favor than other people. Isn't that true? Let's face it, that is true. Just because of that, some people take advantage of their favor. Esther didn't try to gain other people's favor with her beauty. Rather, she win the people's heart with kindness and other winsomeness. Sixth character I find is Esther had a humble respect for the authority. Now, Esther had a golden opportunity as a queen. She no longer had to be accountable to her cousin Mordecai, but she chose to be accountable to him, obey what he says. This course of action brought her to the highest level of heroism. When the Lord put you in the place where you can command others, I hope and pray that you would do the same thing that Esther did. Keeping humility is something we need to learn from our Savior, Jesus. Why? Remember, in Philippians, he laid aside his glory and humbled himself to be what? In human form, he took the human form and lowered an angel. That's a humility. God Almighty taking the human form. In this self-world, a person with a true humility is such a breath of fresh air. This remarkable course of event was an accident. It wasn't just because of luck or fortune or Esther's good look or sparkling personality. God had the plan. Esther was a part of it. Keep your finger there again. Let's go move to a couple books in Psalm 75, please. Those who have a job, and majority of you have a job, and when you get promoted and when you get moved to the different places, it's not something because you did well or you have done wrong. Everything coming from God. Verse 6 in chapter 75. For exaltation come neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south. But God is the judge. He put down one and exalt another. So promotion comes from God himself alone, no one else. Let's go back to the verse 21 of Esther chapter 2. In those days, while the Mordecai sat while within the king's gate, before we go anywhere, let's talk about sitting at the king's gate. While we study the Old Testament, a lot of people sitting at the gate. What are they doing? That's the kind of court area. That's the town important people sit around and they judge people's civil matters. So if somebody is sitting at the gate, and that's the things, it's like a big center of the market. They make a major decision about the town matters. And that means that Mordecai got promoted to sit at the king's gate as an official because of the influence of the queen Esther. Okay, move on. Two of the king's eunuchs, Bigthan and Teresh, doorkeepers, became furious and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. So the matter became known to the Mordecai, who told Queen Esther, and Esther informed the king in Mordecai's name. not the word, please, in Mordecai's name. And when the inquiry was made into the matter, it was confirmed, and both were hanged on the gallows, and it was written in the book of Chronicles in the presence of the king. And you might want to jot down on the line there, and they hanged on the gallows, and it was written in the book of Chronicles in the presence of king. Because we will visit that in the next chapter or so. We know, we now see the Mordecai sitting at the king's gate, and as I said, that was a promotion to him, but his heart was not changed, nor the Esther's heart. Mordecai received not received any recognition at this point, but God knew what was going to happen. Our good works are like a seed that are planted by faith, and their fruit don't always appear immediately. That's our mindset. We want our reward to be happen right now. But God doesn't necessarily work that way. So our good works are like a seed that would happen later. Keep your finger there again. And Proverbs 13:21, please. Proverbs 13:21. Evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous the good shall be repaid. God knows what He's doing, and God will reward those people. God's timing is always perfect, and He said to it that no good deed is ever wasted. God's timing is always right. As far as I know, His timing is never coincide with my timing all the time. Most of the time, I'm always ahead of Him and telling Him to hurry up and get here, God, as if I know something, right? Esther was divinely prepared for her role as the new queen. God is never surprised by the circumstance or at loss for a prepared servant. He had Joseph ready in Egypt. Remember? He was sold as what? Slaves. He was sold as a slave. He was sent to the Egypt way before the drought happened and famine happened and people were dying. And his family could survive because Joseph was already there. And also, Ezekiel and Daniel was in Babylon, and because of these people, later down the road, the people could come back to Israel and build their own land again. Nehemiah is a great case. He was in Susa, the citadel, and he was the one who was a cupbearer of Jugsi, and he was allowed to come back to build the wall around Jerusalem. God had Esther ready for her ministry to the Jews in the Persian Empire. And we'll find out more about it. Let's make an application. Number one, ask God to cultivate within you a discontent with the superficial, but the desire for the spiritual. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are the temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Isn't that true? A lot of people put their mind on the temporary things only, and they cannot think about anything long term. But then again, that's a whole corporate America mentality. Everything is so close. And that's how they build the street around Tucson. Short-sighted. Second application, sometimes God allows the wicked action of man to fulfill the purpose in His great plan. We find assurance in the truth that no other person, no matter how the evil there are, they cannot defeat God's plan for our lives, no matter what they have done for you and me, God will carry on. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. Let your word ring in our heart, and tomorrow and from day on. Let us remember the six characters that were displayed by Queen Esther, with the humility and kindness, pleasantness, and submissiveness. We're asking you to be more like Jesus Christ. Conform us and transform us into his image. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.